Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So you got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
The NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Matt Miller's on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, one of our beloved football experts. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Well, let's start with the national championship game. All that talent on display. A lot of that talent now deciding that they're going to head to the NFL, and your head must be spinning as you have to keep getting your reports and rankings updated with each next name that declares.
Yeah, yesterday LSU had six guys declare for the NFL draft, and it's crazy because, like you said, guys, that game, I had 27 prospects for 2020 on there, and a couple of the guys that have declared I thought were 2021 guys. So, I mean, you could say there's like 30 guys, and I tweeted last night, it was like, this LSU exodus is crazy, and I had a scouting friend of mine who covers the SEC. He texted me, and he was like, man, I bet they have double-digit guys leave LSU because, you know, we haven't heard from guys like, you know, Caleb on Chason is still out there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire declared after that last night. So there's a lot of guys that, you know, when you win a national championship, you kind of feel like, okay, well, I'm a winner. You know, my draft stock has to be high. But guys, I also think, like, when you look at what Joe Burrow just did, that dude accounted for 65 touchdowns this year. It's the greatest single season I've ever seen from a quarterback. If you're Justin Jefferson or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we haven't heard from Thaddeus Moss yet. If you're those guys, two of his offensive linemen, why the hell would you go back to LSU when Jesus Christ at quarterback is now graduated and headed to the Cincinnati Bengals as the number one overall pick? So I think a lot of these guys, and I'm sure some agents got into their ears and said, you really want to come back for the Miles Brennan show, or you want to go out as a champion because you're probably never going to be able to top what you just did?
Outside of Joe Burrow, including both LSU and Clemson, guys who might not even be eligible for this coming draft, who raised their profile the most?
Yeah, I really thought Patrick Queen, the linebacker for LSU, did number 8, and we saw him declare. And he's just an athlete, and I know there's some people at LSU that probably aren't real happy with me because I kept tweeting, like, this guy's underrated. Not enough talk has been spent on Patrick Queen, and when you look at, like, what do we want in an inside linebacker in the NFL, that dude's it. And with Dylan Moses going back to Alabama, I think there was a big gap in the linebacker class, and now I think Patrick Queen can jump right in and fill that spot. Now, the guys who aren't draft eligible, obviously, you know, Trevor Lawrence didn't have a great game, but I think that's more a testament to that suffocating LSU defense. Derek Stingley Jr. is the best corner in college, and it's a shame he didn't win the Thorpe Award. It's a shame that he's not talked about more, and I think it's because he's a true freshman, but he is Darrell Revis on the college level. Wow. He completely eliminated the right side of the LSU defense. Trevor Lawrence did not throw at this man, and we're going to see that the next 2 years. You're probably not going to see a lot of stats from Derek Stingley Jr. because of how good he is on defense. If I'm LSU, I'm going to put him at receiver opposite Ja'Marr Chase and Terrence Marshall and say, you know what? You're probably not even playing that much on defense because everybody's afraid to throw at you. So let's get you some reps on offense. Let's win you a Heisman Trophy like Charles Woodson did. And then speaking of Ja'Marr Chase, he was, other than Joe Burrow, he was the best player on the field. And he's he's a true sophomore. So we'll be talking about him next year. I think you have to look at 2021, and it's super early, but you got to think he's a top 5 pick. I mean, Trevor Lawrence and Ja'Marr Chase both would be top 5 picks. So it's not just this year's class that we saw represented out there. You're getting a pretty good look at next year as well.
You mentioned Thaddeus Moss. Bears are in the market for multiple tight ends. How good is he? Where does he project?
You know, he's raw, guys. And I think you can see, you know, the type of player he is. I think a lot of folks are going to say, oh, it's Randy Moss's kid, and think that he's a diva or he's soft, but he's not. You know, he gives a lot of effort in the run game. You saw his catch radius, you know, with some of those catches in the end zone. And one of my favorite things about Thaddeus is that with LSU, you have those three receivers who are just amazing, and you got a great running back who can catch the ball. Where he really gets a chance to show up then is the red zone. And I like that because he's a developed red zone route runner. He knows how to use space. He knows how to rub off on routes and box guys out. And at 6'3", 250, he has really good size while not losing any athleticism. So he's a little bit of an older guy. He started his career at NC State, transferred to LSU, and really hadn't done a whole lot until this year. So it's a little bit of a, you know, a risk there because we haven't seen him do a whole lot in college football. But I think you could say that about a lot of the LSU guys where, you know, they were held back a little bit by the scheme before Joe Brady gets there. So with, you know, with Moss, this is his first year starting at LSU, and he had 47 catches and 4 touchdowns. So he's a good player that I think the arrow is still pointing up on a little bit.
So Bears make a coaching move, a couple of coaching moves over the last week or so. What do you know? How do you feel about John DeFilippo?
Here's what I know, and I can remember – I pause because I'm trying to think what I can say and what I can't say. I can remember when the Jets
– Well, just say everything, because, man. You know, that's fine. Just say all the things.
Yeah, we have a – on my podcast, we have a huge Jets listenership, right? And because they're always bad, so they're big fans of the draft. And they wanted John DeFilippo as their head coach. And I was just, I mean, perplexed by this. He's been fired now his last two stops. I don't think that's a good look. And maybe he can get along with Matt Nagy. You know, we had talked before about Pat Shurmur. I thought that would have been a good hire. And he goes to Denver. And Denver's offense, watch, guys, is going to be a lot more explosive, a lot more big plays. So with Chicago to get John DeFilippo, having him as just the quarterback's coach might be beneficial. It might be good. I think you can look at, you know, watch Minnesota last year. You guys saw him twice. That's the kind of offense that he runs. That's what he's going to do. You can look at, I think, what he did for Gardner Minshew this year and see some positives. I like the fact that he's like the fourth dude on the totem pole and not the offensive coordinator. But I think you have to worry about someone who, you know, 2 years ago, everyone thought he was going to be a head coach someday. So does he know where he belongs in this pecking order? Or is he a guy who's going to be trying to be upwardly mobile and there's going to be a lot of politics and you know, it's going to be like, you know, the Cleveland Browns with everybody trying to leapfrog each other. So having him behind Bill Lazor, behind Dave Ragone, who I have a ton of respect for Dave. I mean, hell, I'm old enough to remember when he played at Louisville. So just a ton of respect for what he's done in the NFL. And you know, he's been with you guys for a while. It'll be interesting to see him get elevated and see where he's at. But I like the fact that Matt has gone out and hired guys who've done it in the NFL. You know, before it was, oh, he's bringing in these college ideas with Mark Helfrich. And, you know, you're bringing in Harry on the offensive line. Those college guys are gone, you know, now. And it's Juan Castillo and Bill Lazor. And it's people who've been around and done it. So I think if you want to, you know, be optimistic about it, it's that side of it. But I'm not a big John DeFilippo guy.
What do you think of Lazor?
You know, he's been around a lot. And so I think my thing is, like, what's his philosophy? You know, and he's not been anywhere for a long time. I guess I should say that. So, you know, is he going to be more Andy Reid? You know, he was with Andy for a year. He was with Chip Kelly, I'm sorry, in Philly. So he's going to be a little more run and shoot. And then he goes to, you know, Miami after that. So, like, what is his philosophy? I think is one thing I would want to try to figure out. Because, I mean, even like what, you know, in Cincy, which I guess was his last stop, it's hard to figure out what his scheme is because this last year it was so much of Zach Taylor. So I guess that's the thing. I don't know what he's trying to bring to the table. Is it going to be, you know, this modified West Coast, which would fit pretty well with Matt Nagy, but, or is it going to be, you know, I think his roots are Mike Holmgren. So you still have some West Coast in there, but I mean, he's been in the NFL for like 25 years. I guess that's a positive, but he's never been anywhere more than a year or two. So I think like with John DeFilippo, that's where you start to worry a little bit about like, why hasn't this guy stuck anywhere? Why hasn't he in 20 years, you know, stayed somewhere longer than 2 years and not being incredibly upwardly mobile, despite the fact that he was with some good Seahawks teams, you know, with Chip Kelly, it seemed like everything he touched, everybody wanted that first year in Philly. So I think the fans can be skeptical, but also, you know, with coaching changes, it's the same as with draft picks. Everybody wants to be optimistic and there's a 50-50 chance it works out. But I think you can look at the history with some of these guys and say, God, what are we getting? And how long is this team going to stay together?
There are now two connections to Nick Foles on this Bears coaching staff in Lazor and John DeFilippo. Lazor having worked
I knew we were going there.
We have to. You know, I mean, we have to. Because yeah. I still think, Matt, that the most important change in this Bears offense is going to be whatever quarterback or quarterbacks get added to it. So for that reason, you got to take a look at some of the options out there. If you were to trade for Nick Foles and the Jaguars are willing to make a deal like this, they save some money in eating some cap space. It's not the 30 or whatever that he's attached to. The Bears would be on the hook for something like 16. Would you, not if you were just the Bears, but if you were an NFL franchise looking for somebody at quarterback, would you make a trade if you could get him for something reasonable, like a draft pick, like a lower draft pick, and be attached to a $16 million Nick Foles?
Yeah, for that price, absolutely. But that's assuming that the Jags are going to eat, you know, half his contract. I think what his cap hit for next year is right around 33, or it's 22 million cap. It's 33 dead. So, yeah, I think Nick Foles at 15 is interesting. And like with Nick Foles, like, you know, he hit the perfect situation in Philly. You know, team's playing well. Carson Wentz gets hurt, and he just kind of guides the ship. And he, you know, does a good job. I don't want to take anything away from him. I was excited for him to get a shot to be a starting quarterback in Jacksonville. But I think it's like, you look at the Jaguars, and I think we can all agree they're not very good at football.
No.
If they don't want Nick Foles, why do you want Nick Foles? You know, it's like, if he's not good enough for Jacksonville,
right?
Do you really want him in Chicago? I mean, as a backup, sure, but the salary doesn't bother me so much as, like, I mean, is he actually good? Is he actually better than Mitch? I would rather use that draft pick on a quarterback whose traits I liked and try to develop someone as opposed to paying $16 million for a backup.
No, I mean,
because
I get that.
3 years. So you got 3 years left on this deal. So it's not just the, okay, well, for 1 year, he's going to be cheap. It's how long is Jacksonville going to, you know, pay half his contract for you? I think I understand the connection. That's just probably not something I would want to do.
I guess from my perspective, I don't know that the Bears can really be concerned about other teams' quarterback evaluations, especially, you know, in the Jaguars case where you've got Gardner Minshew attached to a $0 contract, essentially, and something you could potentially build around. Like, that cost-benefit ratio is pretty hardcore. You can build around a guy like that if he's an average NFL quarterback. Like, the Bears are in a situation, in my opinion, where you have to bring in anybody who's shown to be at least an average quarterback for 10 games in a season because you don't have a guy like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. They need to bring someone in. And it's crazy because, like, 8 weeks ago, I would have said Ryan Tannehill was the guy to bring in. Bring in a veteran, you know, someone who can move around a little bit and is, you know, kind of like an Alex Smith-type quarterback. So it makes me wonder if someone, you know, whether it's a trade for Foles, the Bears don't have very many draft picks. So I wonder if it's someone like Marcus Mariota, you know, where, okay, not an exciting player by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe if we can get him in a stable environment, because I think you can look at, you know, you can look at what Tannehill has done, you know, as a good example of, you got a guy in a bad situation with a ton of turnover, just getting him somewhere stable, and they have a chance to blossom and flourish. So if I'm the Bears, that's probably the model I'm looking at, because, you know, here we are, we're 3 years into it, and I think it is unfair to compare Mitch to Patrick and Deshaun Watson, but I think you could say, okay, we're 3 years in and it's not happening, so what are the chances then in the next 2 years he flips the switch and becomes great? I think you have to start thinking about contingency plans because, you know, after next year, you got to think, are we picking up this fifth-year option that's going to be pretty expensive? So I think it is smart to look at every angle and say, okay, and that's what they should be doing. You know, a lot of guys are at Shrine Game or NFLPA right now, but, you know, Ryan Pace and his top lieutenant should be having those conversations of, okay, we got to bring in some competition. And you know, there's a lot of factors into that. If you don't want to shake Mitch's confidence, you don't want all of us guys and the media going crazy over it. So how do you bring in a good backup, somebody who can actually compete and push Mitch and maybe help show him how to be, you know, better in the NFL, while also getting, you know, like getting someone who's good enough that if, you know, what we saw at the start last year happens again, you feel comfortable handing them the keys. That's why I don't think like Chase Daniel, like Chase is a good dude. He's made a ton of money. I'm really happy for him, but like, I think they can do better than that.
As we turn our attention to this week's championship games, we were talking yesterday about Derrick Henry and the rarity of a late bloomer running back, especially one who is a Heisman Trophy winner. Can you remember somebody who wasn't who he was in the league from jump at that position?
No, it never happens. And I have taken so much crap on Twitter the last, you know, 4 weeks about Derrick Henry because I did not like him. And what I've told people is I've never seen two things. I've never seen a running back at his size have success in today's NFL. It just does not happen. I mean, he was 6'3", 250 at the combine. And so you can point to, like, oh, well, Eddie George. Eddie wasn't that big. You know, it was a different era, too. You know, I mean, he came out in 1995. So I think it was like guys like Derrick Henry don't exist in the NFL anymore. And then the fact that for 2 years, he had like one good game. And so that used to be my retort. You know, he had that huge game against the Chiefs in the playoffs, and people would be like, oh, you were so wrong. I was like, so I had one good game. And here we are 2 years later, he's about to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. So it is shocking. It's crazy. I think you have to, you know, give him a lot of credit for, you know, he's talked about the fact that he talked to Eddie George about how to manage, you know, his body better. He's cut weight. I think you see that, you know, he's faster. He's so strong late in game. So his conditioning has obviously changed and improved. And like we talk all the time, guys, situation matters so much. If the Titans don't hire Mike Vrabel, yeah, and if they don't then go to Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, like if Matt LaFleur is still the offensive coordinator, or if Ryan Day had been hired as offensive coordinator like they wanted, is Derrick Henry still having this breakout? I don't think he is. So I think situation matters, which, you know, it's the internet exists so people can go back and laugh at bad takes. But I think that, you know, in a perfect world, we would apply context to those takes and be like, man, for 2 years, Derrick Henry looked like a backup and a bust, and now he's the best running back in football, which is going to make this decision on, do they pay him? He's a free agent. Do you pay a guy who's just turned 26 years old and has over 800 carries in the NFL already? I don't know any running back whose second contract looks good right now. So I think a lot of Titans fans might be heartbroken when the front office says, listen, we're going to sign Ryan Tannehill long term, and we're going to let Derrick Henry test for agency, and maybe they use a franchise tag for a year. But, you know, you don't pay running backs, especially guys who have taken as many hits as he has. I don't know if you guys know this. Apparently, he has the most carries ever in high school football as well. So this is a dude who can't – if there's tread left on those tires, then he is a rarity indeed.
All right, who wins these games?
Oh, God. You know you're putting me in a bad situation because I'm a Niners fan. I have been since 1989, and my six-year-old son is a Chiefs fan. And so it's like we are truly, like right now, we're kind of eyeballing each other. Like, okay, what's going to happen? I do think those two teams win. I mean, they're the higher seeds. They're both playing at home. I think the Titans are going to give the Chiefs all they can handle. It's going to be a really good game. I think both teams are a lot different than the last time we saw them play. With the Packers and Niners, I don't know that those teams are a lot different than the last time we saw them play, which was not that long ago. And the 49ers absolutely destroyed them, you know, with the pass rush that they had. So I think, you know, the home field advantage in San Francisco is not the same as it is in Kansas City, obviously, but that pass rush is so good. You know, and they played Thanksgiving weekend. It was 37-8. And, you know, with the Niners, you can say, you know, even then, you know, not having the offensive line, everybody being healthy and back together, they didn't actually run the ball very well that day. The Niners didn't. So as long as, you know, George Kittle's healthy, I saw he was limited. As long as Kittle's healthy, you know, he had 130 yards last time they played. So as long as he's good to go, I think the Niners are a good bet, and I'll pick the Chiefs to win, but I think it's close.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.